Thank you. This is the Pacifica National Board meeting of Thursday, March 22nd, 2012, convening at 5:38 p.m. Pacific, 8:38 p.m. Eastern Time. Summary Chair, Bill Crozier, Vice Chair, Afia Wangaza, Secretary. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Ken Aaron. Can't hear you, Ken. Alvin Isomet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Before you continue, Afia, both Ken Aaron and Dan Siegel requested excused absences. So don't call.
Ken Aaron is who?
Who's the second person?
Ken Aaron and Dan Siegel.
Oh, Dan Siegel. Okay, thank you. Ivan Alsamay? Can't hear you, Alvin. Teresa Allen? Can't hear you, Teresa. Nita Bediako?
Present.
Thank you. Wesley Bethune?
Here.
Carolyn Burton?
Here.
Lydia Brazon?
Here.
Bill Crozier?
Here.
Kathy Davis?
Here.
Revlon Gole? Revlon Gold? Can't hear you, Revlon. Heather Gray? Heather Gray? Can't hear you, Heather. Campbell Johnson?
Present.
Ali Lexa?
Present.
Thank you. Afia Wangaza, present. Laura Priebus? Laura Priebus? Can't hear you, Laura. Summer Reese?
Present.
Marcel Reed?
Here.
Court Ryder?
Here.
Tracy Rosenberg? Here.
James Siegel
excused. Alex Steinberg?
Present.
Andrea Turner? Andrea Turner?
Is that the beginning of a Jimi Hendrix tune?
It could have been.
This is Andrea Turner.
Revelin is joining also.
Thank you. Andrea Turner. Okay. Arlene Engelhardt. I can't hear you, Arlene. LaVarn Williams. Can't hear you, LaVarn. Andy Gall.
Mr. Gold, as a rule, will not be present with us on open sessions, and this evening he is not available for executive session.
Okay. Arlene Engelhardt. Can't hear you, Arlene. LaVarn Williams. Can't hear you, LaVarn. We do have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Okay, you've gotten copies of the agenda, which was the same agenda distributed 2 weeks ago. I do see one change to it, which is we've already set the future meeting dates for the PNB, so that was listed under Chair's report, so we'll get rid of that part. But other than that, are there any proposed, well, first, before we get on to that, I'm sorry, excused absences. Are there any objection to the excused absences of Ken Aaron and Dan Siegel? Okay. Thank you.
For this chair.
Thank you. And then,
came on.
Arlene and LaVarn.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Do I have anyone who wants to act as a timekeeper? Okay. No volunteers for timekeeper? Okay. I'll do my best here while sharing.
I'll do it if you want me to, Ms. Bill.
Okay. Thanks, Bill. I appreciate that. Okay. So back to the previous question. Are there any changes or objections to the agenda as proposed?
This is George.
Bill.
A while back we had at the opening of the meetings, at least the public meetings, we had a 5 minutes of acknowledgments in which people could acknowledge good work.
We cut that out.
Hello, this is Andrea checking in.
Thank you. Anyway, we cut acknowledgments out a long time ago as a part of the regular agenda. However, it doesn't mean if someone is requesting to acknowledge someone. Would you like to be on stack to offer an acknowledgement?
No, I was just curious as to what had happened to it.
Oh, well, it hasn't been there for a long time. but you certainly, if there's something of particular interest, then there's always time.
So we could, however, if we wanted to acknowledge someone, we could do that at this point in the agenda.
You could just say, I'd like to have it. And that has happened during the year when there have been particular people that people wanted to acknowledge. They asked if they could acknowledge them. So, yes, there's no problem doing that.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Any proposed changes
Bill.
To the agenda? Hi, Bill.
Just a little minor thing. I didn't change the adjourn time certain. I don't know if we need a adjourn time certain, but it's listed at 10 p.m. Eastern.
I don't care if you want to leave it there or change it.
But.
It doesn't need to be a time certain. I think that was specific to that meeting.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So I'll move that we delete the time certain from the adjourn time.
Okay, thank you.
This is Revelin with questions.
Sure, Revelin, go ahead.
Is this agenda only for the open session?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. It's a separate agenda for closed session.
All right. Thank you.
Sure thing. Okay. If there are no proposed changes, then we can just move forward. Are there any minutes that I didn't see any minutes distributed for approval? So, Madam Secretary, are there any minutes for the board to approve, and if not, we should do that prior to our next meeting to make sure that we get caught up if there's anything.
I believe we've approved all of the outstanding date.
Oh, okay, very good. Okay, and we can double check between now. We'll have these meeting minutes to approve
Bill.
The next meeting. Bill?
Actually, the last meeting, we haven't approved those.
Yeah, but I think...
John Deary sent a note early this morning with the unapproved ones. There's quite a few.
Well, I will propose that at our next meeting that we go ahead and we allocate like half an hour to approving all unapproved minutes and that they be redistributed, say, 3 days in advance of the meeting so that people have them close to the meeting time. Does that sound acceptable to people?
That's fine, but I'm not sure that I agree with what the list that he sent out.
Well, that'll give an opportunity for you and John to talk so that if there's any discrepancy there, that we only have minutes that haven't been approved represented. Does that sound all right, Madam Secretary?
Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. So we'll our secretaries will get together and I would just ask that any unapproved minutes be distributed 3 days prior to our next meeting and we'll allocate half an hour for minutes approval and hopefully we won't need that much, but just in case and we can get everything out of the way that way. All right. Anything else, I guess? Okay, very good. We've got an approved agenda, no minutes, and I think the chair's report, let's see, minutes approval, executive director's report, chief financial report, and chair's report. So the executive director's report is on first. Arlene, are you ready to go ahead and give that report?
Sure.
Great, thank you.
Most of what I need to talk about needs to be dealt with in closed session. There have been a lot of questions about Al Jazeera, and we can have some discussion of that, but that is a contract, and so a goodly portion of that would fall into the closed session. There have also been comments and questions about Jackson Lewis, and that needs to go into closed session. I do have some brief reports on a couple of legal issues, and again, those are closed sessions. I'm trying to hire an election supervisor, and I'm working with the election committee on some of that. I'm very concerned about, you know, the cost of our elections and also about the fact that this election is going to fall into the election season, a time when we should be covering, you know, the issues and the candidates. And I've already been contacted by some, actually, listeners, as well as by some station staff with concerns about the conflict there with the time on the stations. And then, of course, it falls into the fall fund drive. Those are all issues that we need to be thinking about, how we can minimize those negative effects and still make our election as...
Arlene, if I could, there's a tremendous amount of feedback. It's making it difficult for me to hear our executive director, and I'm sure it is for other people as well. To give the friendly admonition that I give every meeting, please... Phones on mute. #1. It's easy to forget, but no one else is talking right now besides Arlene. So if all of us mute our phones, hopefully that background will go away. Sorry about that, Arlene. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate that. you know, so I think that is an issue that we need to all be thinking about, and I'm open to any constructive input on those issues with the election that anybody can give. Laverne will be talking about, you know, be giving the financial report, of course. I'd just like to bring to our attention the fact that we still have, you know, very serious problems with cash flow, in mainly because of the situations in our two East Coast stations. New York has not funded benefits for a long period of time, and so that means that those are coming out of somewhere else. They still are behind a couple of payrolls, and Washington is behind a significant amount in funding benefits. In addition, we're spending a lot of time and energy on getting things finished up for the auditor. I have sent him an email. I know he's in the heart of tax season, but haven't really gotten any real follow-up as to how well he's proceeding. I know he's gotten some of the extensions, but if we extend some things too far, we're going to be getting into problems with when we get our CPV funding, and that affects our cash flow. And we are in this office dealing right now with three audits, the annual audit for the foundation, the CPB audit that is ongoing, and an audit of the unemployment tax in D.C. In addition, we're pulling materials, and I'll be working all weekend on getting materials ready that have been requested for a director's inspection. That'll make three weekends in a row that I've worked the entire weekend. Again, for clerk's closed session, I'll give a brief update on property issues in New York and D.C., and that's about it from my perspective. Most of it is closed session issues.
Thank you, Arlene. Is that everything?
That's it.
Okay, great. Are there
Teresa
questions
for the stack?
Okay, Teresa? Others after Teresa? All right. I'll take as they come. Go ahead, Teresa.
I don't think this can be said in open session, but I would like the directors who are asking for inspection rights in executive session to give some specifics as to what they're inspecting for.
Okay, well, I know at least one of those directors is not on the call tonight, and I'm not sure if the other is or not. So,
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, I didn't hear what was just said.
Oh, Member Allen was saying that she would like, in executive session, the directors who are requesting director's inspections to just say why, what they're looking
okay
for.
Okay, okay.
But I'm not sure those people are on the call this evening.
Okay, I just hadn't heard it.
Yeah, of course. Teresa, did you have anything else? Or?
I do want to thank Arlene for her very hard work, and I want to say I'm very hopeful that... we can raise some money for some election coverage. So I think we have to raise some money to fund that. So any any national board members who have ideas of how to raise money to cover election coverage, and I'm talking about the national election. I'm open to suggestions.
Who's that speaking?
That was Teresa, and she's picking up on a conversation that's been going on in development and the call
right.
yesterday.
Right. Madam Chair, Campbell.
Yes, go ahead, Campbell. Teresa, hold on. Campbell, before I go on.
I'm finished.
Teresa,
thank you.
Go ahead, Campbell.
Yes, Teresa, I had sent some information to Ursula, a little while ago, and I'll forward it to you also that relates to both information we can do in that newsletter plus potential funding sources.
Okay.
But that's not the end all,
Campbell.
The be all.
Right. Well, it's okay. All of us putting our effort into it, we'll get somewhere. Are there other members who have questions for the executive director before we move on to the next report?
Alex?
Alex, go ahead, please.
Just a quick suggestion as to funding elections. I remember that the first election at WBAI, we included an insert with the ballot. I forget exactly what it said, but the gist of it was that we need your support to help fund this election. And we received back something like, I don't remember the exact figure, Carolyn might, but it was something on the order of $8,000.
It paid for the entire election is what it did.
Yeah, it was not an insignificant portion of the cost for that election. And for some reason, Pacifica has not followed through with that idea or followed through very inconsistently since then. I'm not sure what the reasons are, but that's something that should definitely, we should definitely do something like that this year.
Thank you. And I have, just as a point of information, seen that before at Kay as well, asking for donations to defray the cost of the elections, and frequently people do donate. So I think it is something we should do in all of our elections. We should definitely ask people if they'd like to help support this democratic process, et cetera. Arlene, did you want to respond?
I think that's a very good idea, and I would like to do that this year.
Leslie here.
Leslie, hi, Leslie. Are you checking in, or do you want to be on the stack?
Yes, I want to be on the stack.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. I hadn't heard you during roll call. It doesn't mean you weren't heard by others. Okay. Go ahead, Leslie. You're next.
Okay, I figure we better ask this in open session. So how is the recall election at KPFA progressing?
I will answer that when we get to the chair's report, okay?
All right.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Anyone else for Arlene and things she's covered so far?
More time.
Okay. Who's that?
Oh, that's Bill. I'm just your timekeeper.
Oh, hi, timekeeper. Okay, you weren't trying to get on the stack, though, right?
No.
Okay, so I think we're done. Thank you, Arlene. And next we'll go to Laverne for the CFO's report.
Good afternoon. This is Laverne Wilson, CFO of the Pacific Zone.
Thank you, Laverne.
Hello, you too.
Thank you.
As Arlene said, we've been really busy, as usual, here at the national office, because we're still in the process of providing reports for the independent auditor. And so those reports are ongoing. We're actually getting information. We've sent it in from the stations on their pledges, and their drives for the fiscal year 2011. So we've done that. We're also there's a CPB audit that's going on, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. They're doing an audit. So we've submitted a lot of information, and there are questions coming back that require some analysis and responses to the auditor. And this the auditor is trying to, it will have to make a decision on whether to go out to some of the stations or just go over to WPFW for sure, because he's located there in Washington, D.C. So all of those things that we are actually responding to and trying to get information, And then also just to let you know that we're also preparing for another audit at WPFW, and this is an audit by the government of the District of Columbia, the Department of Employment Services. So we're actually in discussion and working with WPFW in terms of what we need to have available for that audit, which is an audit for the payroll period of the calendar year 2010. So that's also something that's a lot of the work that we're actually preparing and having conversations and also trying to pull together information that's required for that. And we also, in addition, I believe Arlene had mentioned that, as you had mentioned also, that we have a director inspection note for this week. So we're actually pulling together information for that this evening, today, and to have that available for over the next 2 days and the weekend, to have that available for the directors and their agents to come and pick that up on Monday afternoon. So that's some of the things that we're doing. And what I'd like to do is just give you, we have closed the books for the month of February and for the fiscal year, for the first 5 months of the fiscal year of 2012. Before I continue, I think there's a little squirrel on the phone. Does everyone hear that little squirrely voice? There sounds like someone's, oh, there it's gone. Thank you.
I was going to say something, but it would be an ad hominem attack. I was afraid.
I apologize. I apologize for trying to be cute. But whoever was doing it, thank you for stopping. And so we have closed, but we still have some adjustments to make. So I'm going to give you preliminary results and talk about a couple of issues or developments that we see in terms of the results. And for the first 5 months of the year, for fiscal year 2012, for the foundation, our revenue the revenue for the year, for the first 5 months, is $6.7 million. And our budget was actually 7.3, so we're about $500,000 short on or below the budgeted revenue for this period for the first 5 months. And that is primarily in the listener support. That's where the shortfall is. So our revenue again for the first 5 months, $6.7 million, about $500,000 below the budget. However, it's about $200,000 higher than the same period of last year. So our revenue is about $200,000 higher than last year, but we're about $500,000 below what we budgeted. As far as the expenses, the expenses for this year for the first 5 months are at $6.2 million, and that's about $100,000 better than what we budgeted. So we're spending about $100,000 less than what we budgeted for the first 5 months. And if you compare that to last year at this time, however, we're actually above last year expenses. So that's something that we really need to start working on, and we will be talking about reviewing in the National Finance Committee. And if you look at our bottom line for the first 5 months of the year, our income for the year is about $600,000. It's about the same as last year, a little bit under, about the same. So our income for the first 5 months of the year is about $600,000, which is about the same as we were last year at this time. However, if we look just at the month of February, you will see that income for only the month of February was also almost $600,000. So if you look at the results, you'll see that for the first 4 months, we were about at break even. And then we had the big drive in February, and our income, our net income, our revenue over our expenses was about $600,000. So again, let me just say that if we achieve $600,000 in income for the month of February, Our next drive is actually in the month of May. So we have 2 months that we have to have this revenue in terms of having this cash available over the next 2 months, plus any revenue that will fall over after the drives. So usually after the drives, you know, your income that you achieve in that first month, like in the month of February, is usually the credit card pledges, and that's like the pure revenue. And then after you start billing, you still get the rest of that in the following months, and you'll get probably about 20% in the second month, which would be the month of March. So, but the concern here is that we're still living really close to, you know, breaking even up to the point of the drive, and then the drive we achieve the funds to carry us through the next 2 months. However, as you know, the next after the May drive, we have a short drive in the month of August, and if that drive does not achieve enough income, then at the point of September, we will actually be in a negative position. So there's something we really need to start looking at expenses. And let me just give you some information on our headcount. And this is another area we need to really look at. In the month of January, our headcount, the total number of workers, there were 156 or 157 workers, number of employees. If you translate that to full-time equivalents, there were 114. In the month of February, that had gone up, so that our full-time equivalents went from 114 to 119. And although in the month of February, of course, you bring in people to assist with the fund drives, so that's an explanation for it. But also, it's also the additional expenses that happen when that's done. So that's something we really need to look at. And if we look at the station where the headcount increased the most, it was at KPFA. And there was some increase at WBAI, who actually was about one. And the same with WPFW with about one. And the other stations, they basically, the headcount stayed about the same. At KPFK, it actually went down. In terms of number of employees, the FTEs remained the same at 30. So that's kind of where we are there. In terms of our major problem, our major issue with the foundation and coming out of that period where we lost $5 million over the last 5 years, well, our major payables, we still have, this is a huge concern. We are approaching $2 million. And we have the detail on that, and when I send out the reports, we'll send out the details behind all of that. And I can just say that most of that is in, of course, the national office, where we have our payments that are due to Democracy Now. We're actually paying down some of our other expenses that we have. However, the legal expenses are a serious concern. And those are where it's the Democracy Now, our legal expenses. So just to go back to summarize, for the month of February, we actually achieved net income of about $600,000 on a year-to-date basis, meaning all 5 months of this fiscal year, our net income is about $600,000. And comparing that to last year, we're about at the same at the same level that we are at this time. And that's my
conclusion.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Well, you've covered a lot of ground. Are there questions from board members for the CFO?
Nia Summers.
Campbell.
Okay,
Campbell.
I heard Nia.
George,
Campbell. Is that George? Okay, Revelin. So I have Nia, Campbell, George, Revelin, and then
Kathy.
I can take more people. Kathy, okay.
We're over time, so we probably do extend time.
Is there an objection to extending 5 minutes?
Without objection.
Thank you. Okay, so Nia, Campbell, George, Revelin, Kathy. Go ahead, Nia, please. And everyone, please try to keep your questions succinct, and we may have to go slightly over 5 minutes, but we'll do our best. Go ahead, Nia.
Yeah, thanks for the report, Levarne. But could the PNB get copies of the reports or the actual financial statements? I haven't seen them in quite some time.
You didn't get them from last month?
No.
You didn't get the month of January. I'll resend what I sent out to the PNB and to the NFC, and then I'll send you these. We have the preliminaries. They're set to go. And
maybe they went to the NFC, but I'm not. Not all of us are on the NFC, so we wouldn't get them.
I believe I sent them to the PNB, but I'll just resend them. Yeah, I'll go and pull them up now and resend them to you.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
I wanted to make sure I heard correctly. You said we have net income of $600,000, but our payables are $2 million.
That's exactly what you heard. They're nearly $2 million. You know, I'm just putting it there that number in so everyone can understand that. Our direction is really to try to reduce expenses, try to help in terms of keeping the revenue on the budget. We're about, I said, $500,000 worse than budget at this time for revenue. So we need to stay focused on what we can do to bring that revenue up to budget, and the fact that we do need to reduce that before it really does achieve the $2 million. But please. That's surely an alarm at this time, that this is something we need to work toward.
And do you know what our working capital is for January, February?
Well, you know, again, I think I explained this in the last time that we were talking about the audit, and that we have not officially closed the books for 2011. So if I did a working capital, it would not have the balances that will roll over from 2011 to 2012. So I could give you a number, but it would not be meaningful.
Thank you. Campbell is next.
Yes. Thank you very much. And I believe last time that we got a report, I had asked for it to be sent to all of the board members, and I think that would be a good procedure to just follow on a continuing basis rather than just sending it to the NFC. I think it's important for us to have the information, and even if we're talking about preliminary information, I think that we can appreciate that, but you know, we certainly need to have it in as much of a timely fashion as possible. And believe me, I understand how it can be. It seems as though you have three audits going on at the same time in the national office, and that can be quite a distraction. The first specific question would be the DOES audit at WPFW. Can you give us any more information on that on this call, or should we wait for the next call?
What I can do is I can just send you a copy of our notice.
Okay.
And you know, in terms of what they're asking for.
Okay.
So I can do that. But let me tell you about the close again. You're saying on a timely basis. That's something that's near and dear to my heart, because we've had the ongoing issue of KPFA, you know, failing to close on the fifth workday. So the final close on that was actually was last Friday. But each close, we have to do work here, in that we have transactions we need to calculate and determine. We need to do the intercompany transactions, and that takes time because we're doing the other things at the same time. So if the close is not done on the fifth workday, and all five other entities, the station plus the archives, they close on the fifth workday. Only KPFA does not do it. So when it's not done timely, that means that all the intercompany analysis and transactions that have to be put in the general ledger are delayed. So the reason why I'm giving you preliminary numbers is that only we still have some more transactions adjustments to do, but I'm going to send out tonight the preliminary reports. And that's why, is that we just have to have this done as we have as you want it to be done. You want timely reports. But if I have a station like KPFA that is not doing it, that delays it for everyone.
How late are they in their close?
Well, I was told that on Friday that it was actually that that it had been done. So we ran reports, another preliminary set of reports on Tuesday. But again, if it's done on Friday, we have transactions, we have analysis, we have to do the intercompany accounts,
right.
And all of that has to be done.
So
that's why I have a report. My reports I'm sending out now, reports that we ran on Wednesday.
Okay.
And then with some adjustments I'm putting in on the reports and sending those out tonight. And that's the information that I read to you this evening.
Okay, terrific. Also, I'm in regards to our outside independent auditor, and it just strikes me as being rather odd that here we are, you know, pretty near the last week in March, and he's working with information regarding the drives for the last part of FY 2011 is what I'm understanding. And it seems to me that, you know, if you have figures and then you have, you know, a certain percentage.
May I explain, Campbell? Campbell, may I explain?
And Campbell, can we make this your last question because we're probably out of time.
Okay.
And I can explain this with Campbell, if you don't mind. What he's looking at is that he's looking at the fulfillment of the outstanding pledges on September the 30th, 2011. They were outstanding pledges for the drives for fiscal year 2011. So what he's looking at actually are the fulfillment from October the 1st through February the 29th. So, and that will determine what our pledges receivables are on the balance sheet. So he's actually looking at the fulfillment of those pledges through February the 29th.
Okay.
So that's what he's doing. So I know it seems like that was so long ago.
It just seems to me that fulfillment rates have been rather consistent, although they've been improving in recent years.
That's correct.
In the foundation. Okay, thank you very much. Madam Chair.
And we are past time.
Thank you. Next on the stack is George, and then Revelin and Kathy. So please let's extend to finish the stack, and then we're done. Thank you.
Well, Campbell pretty much asked the question I had about the D.C. government inspection at PFW. Will we have a chance to discuss that in executive session?
Madam Chair.
Do we need to discuss it in an executive session?
Not at this time. Maybe at the next meeting we can. I will just send you a copy of what we received. I'll forward it now.
Good enough for now.
Okay.
Thank you, Revelin. You're next.
Okay. I think that might handle the first question I had. Also, I did not quite understand what the audit by the government was for at WPFW. So will what you're sending out, will that make that clearer?
Yes, it will.
Okay, and it's a WPFW because both happen to be in Washington, D.C.?
It's an audit by the government of the District of Columbia.
Of the whole District of Columbia?
Right.
Okay, and because we're in D.C., then it includes us, yes?
That you're the winner in this lottery.
Arlene. Okay. And so also, you said that we had, at W, we had increased by one person our staff or somewhat. Yeah, it had to be staff because of pay. What position was that, please?
Let me go and find it here.
Okay.
It's actually... Let me go and look at the detail. It's not a full person. It's like a percentage in a number of different departments. So let me find the department that has the increase, and I'll get back with you. I have to find it on the spreadsheet.
Okay, because I know that we have also lost some people and staff still is not all the way reinstated. Also, last quick question. There is some training that apparently the financial people were supposed to receive. And I was in a short discussion about the fact that sometimes when they send in reports, they may put, an amount in one category, but then it's in another category. And that is understandable, and one reason for the training is so that it can all be standardized. But the conclusion was that the training has been promised but never actuated. So is that training going to happen? Is it still relevant, and how can we resolve this?
You mean for financial training?
Yeah, everybody's in the same language. Mm-hmm.
You mean just in terms of how to the whole staff, in terms of how to read financial statements, or the training to the business manager, for the business manager, which I'm not sure.
Well, it was not the business manager that was in that conversation, but it was the treasurer and someone else. I can't even remember who it was, but they were saying that, you know, sometimes they may call one category, give it one name, but you all put it in another category, and so it disappears at a certain level. You know what I mean? On one.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Well, I think that we can move this in the discussion on the National Finance Committee meeting, and we can discuss that then, so that where the issue is and the particular account that seems to be a problem with moving it in terms of the description. And on the headcount, I don't know if Marlene wants to speak to this, or if I can just say that in this case with PFW, there was not one whole person, but it was like percentages that had gone up. And one was the case where I believe you had a person as a contract, and the person was brought on as an employee, so the person moved from the contract status to employee. But it wasn't a whole, a whole FTE. It was just a percentage of a portion of time, or of a full time equivalent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, Kathy, you're last, and then we'll move
Madam
on.
Chair. Arlene wanted to add just one brief comment.
Oh, of course, and I heard Teresa's voice as well. One moment. Arlene, Teresa, did you have a point of information, or did you want to be put on stack?
Well, I would kind of like to be told how many employees are at each station currently.
Okay, hold on. Let me just put you on after Kathy, and then I'll have Arlene finish, okay?
Okay.
So go ahead, Kathy, then Teresa, then Arlene, then we move on, okay? Thank you. Go ahead, Kath.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to ask LaVarne if you have the final figure for the drive in New York for February. I understand it was over 900,000, but I was not sure of the final figure.
The number that I have from our report that each station's been in the information, and we produce a report here that goes to Arlene, and I believe it was the number I had, I believe, was 978,000, but we were told that there was another 38,000 or so more on the for website income. I believe those were the numbers. If I don't have the sheet here in front of me, but I believe those were the numbers.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, LaVarne. Go ahead, Teresa, ask your question, and then we'll let Arlene finish up.
I was just asking if LaVarne had the number of FTEs, full-time employees from each station. If you can, she told us the total, but if she
yes, I do. I do, and I have it by name also. I can send you the summary by station. The names, you know, I can send out. You know, it's all the stuff is the names, private and confidential. But the summaries that shows you by major category, admin, programming, development, operations, and the total, I can send that to you. I'll send it to you now along with the information from the District of Columbia.
Okay.
And that's part of the report.
Is there any way you can just tell us how many at WBIW?
Oh, absolutely. I can tell you right now. Yeah, okay. The national office, I'll start there. there are FTEs, there are eight, and there are nine workers in total. Mm-hmm. Then the archives, I'm sorry, these are the easy ones. There are seven workers, it's like seven FTEs at KFA. There are 54 employees that were on the staff. There were 31 FTEs. So 54 employees, 31 FTEs. KPFK, 38 employees, 30 FTEs. WBAI, 30 employees, 22 FTEs. WPFW.
Wait a minute, I'm sorry, 22, what, WBAI?
FTEs.
Yes.
22 FTEs.
Can you send
WPFW?
Point of inquiry.
Could send that out to LaVarne, because I think probably it's
right.
Okay.
Thank
yeah,
you.
I can send
then,
this. This is usually part of the monthly report, but I'll send this. I will send the summary to you now, along with the information.
And then Arlene, go ahead and finish up.
We have some more.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, but it seems like if you had just given her another
2 minutes,
20 seconds, we could have had the total figures. I didn't quite hear WBAI, but all we have left is I, W, T, and K. So, I mean,
point of inquiry, Madam Chair, I think it would be good if we all had it consistent and it would be all on the same plate and we could read it and look at it and come back with constructive questions later if we have it.
W 12.5, 10.5 FTEs, T 15 staff, and 11 FTEs. The total, 165 or 166 were employees, 119 FTEs.
Could you give me that total figure one more time?
166 and 119. I'm rounding up. They're fractions, but it's 166, 119.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Madam Chair? Madam Chair?
Yes, LaVarne.
Oh, it's not me.
It's Andrea here. Can we still have that sent out to us?
Oh, absolutely.
No, she was sending it out.
Okay.
Thanks, Andrea.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Okay, and thank you so much, LaVarne, for answering all these questions. And Arlene, you wanted to go ahead and clarify something else before we move on in the agenda?
Yeah, I wanted to say two things. I think there might have been a little misunderstanding in Revlon's question when she said all of D.C. It is D.C. government that is conducting the audit, but this particular audit is WPFW. I'm sure they're doing some other places, but it's not everything in D.C. Now, maybe I misunderstood what was being said, but I thought if I did, other people might have misunderstood that. That was one. And then the second point that I wanted to bring up was talking about FTEs. One of the issues is that we pay full benefits for any employee that's half-time or over. That includes family medical. And so when we have a large number of employees, with a considerably less FTE, it means that we're putting out a lot of money for benefits at that particular station. There's something to keep in mind.
Thank you, Arlene. Okay, so we had an extended CFO report and a report from the ED and some Q&A, and that brings us to the chair's report, my portion. So I guess the two things that I'm going to cover, I know we're going to talk about some other things in executive session, but one of them does have to do with utilization of our legal resources. And we have gone over this before, but just a reminder, attorney time is rather expensive, and there are two dozen of us on the board. And it has been the request of most of our attorneys, including our current general counsel, and has been policy in the past, that requests for information, either require three directors or go through the chair. For things like requests of documents, transcripts, and other things which are going to be potentially copious and expensive to reproduce and time-consuming to do so, I would request that you send those requests through me and or Arlene or to both of us. Some of those items may exist already in the national office and could be duplicated by someone who is not charging us attorney rates to duplicate documents.
And many of these things are also available online. And frankly, just to keep administrative functionality and keep a rein on our legal expenses, it really is necessary that the request either go through me or through Arlene so that we have some way of appropriate dealing with it before the attorney is responding to send those documents out. So I would ask for future reference for matters regarding litigation that you first make a request through the chair and the executive director. So that was something I wanted to say on legal matters. Wesley asked, and I was planning to report on this anyway, regarding where we're at with the recall. I had reported it at our last meeting, but the update is, yes, we've retained Matt Ward as the independent elections supervisor. He has an email specifically for this purpose, which is kpfarecall@gmail.com. Anyone with inquiries regarding the election should contact him at that number. I mean, at that email address. He has already been in communication with the database manager, with the national office, of course, with me, with the chair of the KPFA local station board, and with the subject of the recall. So he is in possession of most of the things that he needs and is still getting the rest of the information that is required to go ahead and create the ballot and set the date for sending that out and contacting the mail house and the print house. So everything is in process, moving along, and he has been engaged with these various people over the last week or so in terms of answering questions and getting information. So everything's moving forward accordingly on the recall, and that's pretty much the update on that situation, and that's the contact information for the recall supervisor. That's pretty much it in terms of what I can report in open session. There's other things we'll discuss in closed session. So if there are any questions.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Yeah, is that a
this is not your point. Yeah, Andrea, point of inquiry. Oh, could you repeat that email?
Yes, of course, of course.
When was his effective start date?
The 11th. Okay, well, that was when I signed the contract with him, was March 11th, okay? And he's been getting information since last week from the various departments. I forwarded everything that I had that had come from the national office, as well as contact information for the various individuals he would need to work with the necessary information to move the recall forward. So I believe he's determining that date right now and has been in communication with the database manager, Chris Stellick, regarding making sure that everything is verified.
And that's KPFA, and what's the...
KPFA recall at gmail.com. Uh-huh. And it's all one word.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Thank you. And, you know, obviously, I know people are only going to, I hope he does not get inundated with the kinds of emails that the rest of us do. I hope that so far it's been very, you know, I think business-like and basically in coordination with all the departments he needs to work with in order to get the job done, so... But that's the appropriate place. If anyone has a question or a complaint or anything else relative to the recall, that is where they should send it at this point.
Carolyn on the stack, please.
Okay, go ahead, Carolyn.
I'm sorry.
I was asking to be put on the stack.
Okay, Afia, I thought I had heard your voice. Okay, Afia and then Carolyn, if I could, please.
Thank you.
Sure, go ahead.
With regard to access to legal documents, we had asked, DeAndrea, to create, and he had promised but never created some kind of secured system. And I would urge that we, and if need be, would move that system be put in place so that members can have access to legal records without having to go through either the chair or the director or the attorney having to make copies of stuff unnecessarily.
Sure. I think part of the issue there is, you know, previous counsel didn't create that, and that's frankly a technical thing that needs to be executed. I think we might wish to speak with our technical staff. Many of these documents are, frankly, already freely available as part of public records, and members merely need to be directed to the appropriate link in order to view documents. It does seem to me that there is probably a way to put that all in one place, but I don't want to put that burden upon general counsel. I think that perhaps we should speak with our technical staff to see functionally what would be involved with putting all those documents in one place, just as we've asked with other things like minutes and motions and that sort of thing. So if you'd like a fee, I'm happy to follow up with our technical folks to see what would be involved and then speak with Mr. Gold as well.
I would appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, Carolyn?
Yes, thank you. Thanks for that report, and I'm glad things are moving along on the recall. As for the technical documents, backpedaling a bit, yes, we definitely need a site, but the security of such a site is really in question. And I suspect that's why tech people have not moved to create such a site. It really is iffy. On the other hand, if we could ask counsel to simply give us the case numbers at every possible opportunity or put them in writing in the minutes or something, we can look them up ourselves. We don't need to incur the extra expense of asking counsel to do what we could do very easily. I did have another question. Pardon? I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Uh-huh. Thank you. I did have another point, and now it's slipped my mind. It had to do with the last issue we talked about. Now I've forgotten what it is. It was the question of not on the recall. Oh, yes. Is the question of who is asking for a director's inspection an item for a closed session, or is that public information? I don't understand why that should be a closed session point of information. I'm wondering who is asking for a director's inspection where. Is that a closed session issue, or?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, I don't suppose who asks for a director's inspection is
Teresa for the staff. I would like to say something. I'm the one that brought it up, and the reason I brought it up is, I mean, and I suggested executive session is because they might say, well, we want to inspect because of X, and
sure. That
might not necessarily be so. I mean, they might be thinking that something's wrong when it's nothing's wrong.